Tonight I thought about getting either Dr. Twilliger or Dr. Hill to give me a white coat and a stethoscope and so forth like that, and come in looking like what some of you think I need. Okay? All right. Somebody told me tonight, Becky thinks you ought to see a doctor. Well, I saw one today. I saw one over here, and I saw one back here. And, I'm going to tonight do the work of a doctor, okay? And I'm going to call you in for your annual, okay? Your annual heart exam. And we're not going to hook you up to a lot of wires and those electrodes and everything that they put around on you. I'm not going to hook you up to that. But I would like to hook you up to the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to hook you up to the Word of God and see how your heart's beating. See what kind of health your heart is in. And I think it would be beneficial for all of us. David said this in Psalm 139, the last two verses, 23 and 24. And the song even is in our book, in our hymnal. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's a very common word in the Word of God, the heart. Now, sometimes it refers to the physical organ of the body, but generally in the Word of God, whenever it talks about the heart, it just talks about the center of your being. It talks about your motives. It talks about that which you are on the inside. And it does not say all the things that it says are not good things about the heart. And so every once in a while, I think it's good to examine our heart and even open our heart up to God for His examination to see how our heart is. Now, I must confess to you, whenever you get into something like this, you just have to start saying, whoa, this is too wide. This is too wide. And you have to start bringing it back to a very few limited points, because these just go on and on and on in the scriptures about the heart. The songs about the heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, in my heart there rings a melody. If your heart keeps right, if your heart keeps right, have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Over all evil, without and within. Is there no more condemnation for sin? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? And after every one of those phrases, the question is asked, is thy heart right with God? A grand old song, not in our book, not in very many hymn books at all. It's not a really, particularly a pretty song musically, but it is a absolutely examining song that we need to think about. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my innermost beings. Know what I am in that place where I make my decisions. Examine my heart. And may we be willing for that to take place. In Proverbs chapter 28, if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn to some places, you may do that. But Proverbs 28, there is a problem with the heart. As we come to the end of the book of Proverbs, and these wise sayings that are preserved by God. Happy is the man, 28:14, Proverbs. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now here's this problem of a hard heart. Hard heart. Some people are very hard-hearted. And there are things that happen that tend to make us that way. We become very calloused to things. The hard heart. But it seems as if, from the scripture here, that a person can harden their heart. Moses, under God's command, called the people of Israel stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And it talks about Pharaoh hardening his heart whenever Moses would go in and say, release the people of God and let us go into the land that God has given to us. And he would say, no, not going to do that. And Moses would say, okay, darkness is going to come, flies are going to come, lice are going to come, water's going to turn to blood. All of those things are going to happen. And Pharaoh would harden his heart. And then it got to a point where the Bible says God hardened his heart. Now, the problem of a hard heart. Now, of course, every child thinks their parent is hard-hearted. They just have that opinion about them when they're little, that they're uncaring and, you know, they just don't want what's best for them and they won't let them do the things that they would enjoy. They're just hard-hearted people. But whenever we resist the call of God, our heart hardens toward the call of God. Whenever we have an uncaring attitude concerning those around us, our heart hardens toward that kind of thing. And it's hard to keep a tender heart. It's hard to keep that warm, caring, loving Spirit of Christ. It's hard to keep that. Whenever it comes to hardening our heart against the Lord says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Hard-hearted, a judgmental person. Whenever something happens, they say, well, you know, they just get what's coming to them. And that's probably true. But it's one thing to see someone really get something they've brought upon themselves and really what's coming to them and still have compassion on them without trying to interfere with God's work in their lives. Sometimes we get so caring about people, and this may be contradictory to the way the message really should be going tonight, but sometimes we get so caring about people that we want to feel sorry for them and do something for them when God is dealing with them. And we want to lighten the pressure God has put on them. Now, we must not do that, but it is proper for us to be caring and kind and concerned. But whenever a person rebels against God and says, no, I won't do that, I don't care what God says, I don't care how God is dealing with me, they harden their heart against God. Now, of course, that's described in Romans chapter 1. And it's described about the progression of sin and people turning against God. And then in Romans chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, despisest thou, following that. And if the chapter division wasn't there, we would read this right in context. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation in the righteousness of the judgment of God. A hard heart. Now, the hard heart progresses. And I don't know what the little meters on the wall, I don't know what the little scopes are saying whenever it comes to the hardness of our hearts. If we could somehow hook that up in here, in our spiritual relationship with the Lord, in our attitude toward God, what would show up on that screen there with all those little blurps that are going up and down and everything? How would that read out about the hardness of our heart? But it seems like there's a progression to that till in Ezekiel chapter 11. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, he said, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart. The stony heart. It seems as if that there is a progression of the hardness of heart till it becomes like a stone. And God speaks here of a stony heart. And he said, I want to take that out of you. I don't want to give you a heart of flesh. He speaks that again Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 26. He speaks again of that stony heart. Now, whenever you get to the point of a stony heart, it seems as if in the Word of God, the way he deals with it here, a new heart also will I give you, verse 26 of chapter 36. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. It seems like it's time for a heart transplant. That's serious stuff. That's serious physically, and that's serious spiritually. Whenever you come to the point that you've hardened your heart until your heart is like stone, and you get to the place where, as it says in the book of Romans chapter 1, as it comes to the end of that chapter, and it talks about people knowing God, but not accepting him as God, not praising him as God, not honoring him and not giving him glory, and turning from him. And God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. And then it very clearly comes down and says that they come to the point that they not only do those things, but they take pleasure in them that do them. Now, I know we're on live stream, and I know we're not a completely adult audience in here, but I'm going to tell you something. This week across the world is set to march out Gay Pride Week. Where in the world did people ever get the idea that they ought to have some kind of pride about their sexual behavior, whatever it is? Where in the world did that come from? Are we looking to the time that across this world we're going to have the colors and the flags and the week set aside for Pedophile Pride Week? Are we going to have a Rapist Pride Week? Where in the world did that come from? Well, we know where it came from. It came from those who turned their heart against God and set their heart against God and went that way against God, and their heart becomes hardened and it becomes stone. and to become proud of those things for which we ought to be ashamed. If I see somebody I know marching in that parade, I know more about them than I want to know. My soul. David prayed, create in me a clean heart. Psalm 51:10. And renew a right spirit within me. Oh, that would take place in our life. If you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. And this is a classic passage on the heart right here. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 17. And it is something that we ought to consider in examining the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Now that's the direction, the inward direction. Now we've taken that and talked about the reins of a horse, and that's the way we use that term, the way we're familiar with it. But the Bible uses the term rarely, but it does use the term the reins, the internal guidance of our life and the direction of our life. I, the Lord, I try the reins. He searches the heart. He tries the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The heart is deceitful. Sometimes we talk about the conscience, and I said this a few weeks ago. People say, well, just let your conscience be your guide. Well, now that sounds very nice. But unless you have a God-ordered, Bible-trained conscience, your conscience is not reliable. The heart, which would be the same thing, in the same family right there, the heart and the conscience, the reins, the conscience is the guiding, the reins. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Can you imagine that? One thing for God to say it's wicked. It's another thing for God to say it's desperately wicked. Proverbs 21:2 says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. And we live that way in the book of Judges. We live that way today. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What were they doing? Just let your conscience be your guide. But if you're going to let your conscience be your guide, you better make sure that you have a Bible-trained, Holy Spirit-ordered conscience. There are things that many people in other religions that they have a conscience about. Now, some of you were born and raised in Catholicism. And whenever you didn't go to Mass, you felt guilty. Now, I've never been to Mass. And I've never felt guilty about it. I've never felt guilty about not going. Not one time. Never felt a pang of guilt about that. Why? Because I didn't have a conscience trained that way. That conscience was trained by their parents and by their priest. Their conscience was trained that way. And they felt pangs of conscience when they didn't go to confession. That's why I'm saying you need to have a Bible-trained conscience. I come to the fourth thing. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews 3:12. Take heed about that. Lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. It's interesting how God describes that heart. That heart of unbelief is an evil heart. An evil heart. Now, I'm assuming something in the context of that verse. I'm assuming that Paul there is writing to Hebrew believers. And isn't it strange that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would walk with him and not follow him in obedience and trust. And we would not walk in a heart of faith, believing him. Now, I'm not talking about denying the Bible as the Word of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about whenever God would speak to our hearts about something that he has for us to do, and we say, oh no, I could never do that. I could never do that. No, that's not me. I could not do that. No, I just don't believe I could. Don't believe I could. And people express that all the time about God. I'm talking about believers express that all the time about God. Whenever they are confronted with a service for the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll say, I don't believe I can do that. I don't believe. I don't believe. And we say it over and over, never think a thing about it, but we just say it. I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't believe. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. We have the privilege of having some little grandkids around us. And it's interesting to see the faith of a child. I mean, if that's what God says, that's it. If that's what God says, that's just what... We ought to be like that all the time, every way, about everything, whenever God said it. Now, I know God said it, and that settles it. But God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. That settles it for me. We ought to settle in on what God says. William Jennings Bryan in the Great Scopes trial in Dayton, Tennessee. Whenever he was being questioned about his belief in the Bible. And of course, as lawyers, we'll try to play the word game back and forth with whoever's on the stand and get them to say what they want them to say. The lawyer said to William Jennings Bryan, he said, Mr. Bryan, I assume that you believe that story in the Bible about Jonah swallowing the whale. He said, sir, the Bible doesn't say Jonah swallowed the whale. But he said, I must hasten to tell you, if the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it. I believe it. Not have an evil heart of unbelief, but a tender, kind heart of compassion that is created in us by God, that David cries out for when he says, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, a heart like the heart of God. Without hypocrisy, open, sincere, honest, in every motive, in every way, in every action. Love the Lord thy God. When I asked what the first and great commandment was, Jesus said, that's it. love the Lord thy God with all thy, first of all, with all your heart. First of all, with all your heart. The number one thing, love God with all your heart. Sometimes we say that about children. Sometimes we'll say that about another loved one. I just love you with all my heart. I love you with all my heart. You ought to say that to God. I love you with all my heart. With all my heart, Lord, I love you. I love you. With all that is in me, in the very center of my being. We don't use the term anymore, but in the olden time, the central street of a city was called the Cardo. The Cardo. That's the main thoroughfare through the city. The Cardo. And the Cardo was the very heart. Was the very heart of the city. It means the very center. The very center of it. And so the heart is in our life. Look at 657 in your book. Hymn book. Okay? And here we have Psalm 139. 657. I think let's have the instrumentalists come. Okay? I'm not going to preach my outline on this, but I've got this song done, ready to go for our study on Thursday nights. But it just seemed that we had to look at it tonight. Of course, the verse at the top is 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my ways. See if there be any wicked way in me. We sing the song sometimes, and that makes me want to say it whenever I look at this and think about this. See if there be any wicked way in me. We sing the song, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? I don't think I have to wonder about that. I think I pretty well know that I haven't done my best for Jesus. And in here, whenever David prays and says, see if there be any wicked way in me. I think whenever God looks, he's going to probably find something he wants to deal with. I think it's probably going to be there. Search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. There's that sin and bondage all tied together. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Take all my, grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. See, from cleansing comes, and I'm going to give you a little bit of it, from cleansing comes consecration. Whenever cleansing takes place, then consecration takes place. Take, Lord, my life. Lord, take my life and make it holy thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. And then what comes next? What comes next? Next comes revival. Revival. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need for blessings now. O Lord, I humbly plead. Let's stand together and sing it. I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not, but it's a good song. It ought to be sung. It's a very scriptural song. Search me,
O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Now I want you to know, every prayer that's prayed in that verse, every prayer that's prayed in that verse, God will answer. He'll answer every prayer that's there in that verse of song. Now we come to praise for cleansing.
I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life.
Fill my poor heart. Fill my heart. My heart. And take my will, passion, self, and pride.
I now surrender, Lord.
Then we come to the revival verse.
Oh, Holy Ghost,
start the work in me. He promises to supply our need. Oh, for blessings. How about your heart? Is it right with God? Is it right with God? Let's bow our heads in prayer.